Hello, my name is Daniel Morris, and I'm pastor of Cultivate Church Nashville. I want to invite you to join us each Sunday on the Roots campus in Cool Springs for Bible study at 9 a.m. for adults, students, and children, and worship beginning at 10:30 a.m. Our vision is to see people saved, set free from the bondage of sin, and growing every day in their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why at Cultivate, we're committed to bringing the love and transforming power of Christ to all people through evangelism and missions both here in the Nashville region and around the world. We're a church on the move, and I invite you to join us on our journey.
Okay, very good. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, we're in week 2 of this new series, The Kingdom Life. And we're learning from the book of Ezekiel on what it looks like to be called to be faithful and obedient believers in a rebellious generation. And I want to start with a question for you today. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew you were supposed to speak up with something, but you froze? Yes. Maybe it was at work. Maybe it was around family. Maybe it was online. I don't know. The moment was there, the Spirit nudged you, and then that little inner voice that we all know whispered to you, and it said, now's not the time, they won't listen anyway, just keep the peace. Anybody ever been there? And in a moment like this, see, and this comes to all of us, God isn't looking for louder people. He's looking for people who have heard from Him and are willing to speak what He gives, when He says, and how He says. Today the message is called, When to Speak Up. And we're still following Ezekiel's call. Sometimes we're to, God gives us the assignment and He gives us the voice immediately. Sometimes He gives us the assignment, and just like we're going to see in Ezekiel 3, He gave the assignment, but He shut Ezekiel's mouth. And He says, you're going to speak when I tell you to speak, and you're going to say what I tell you to say. And so we're going to step through that. Here's the core truth that I want us to get from the message today. You can't speak for God if you haven't been with God. And beyond that, I'd say before His word comes through you to someone else, and He wants it to, it needs to. Before you can minister and His word comes through to someone else, it must first dwell in you. In other words, you can't serve a meal if you haven't tasted the recipe. You don't start by shouting, you start by surrendering. You don't speak from pressure, you speak from presence. And before God gives us a message for others, He gives us moments with Him. He doesn't send voices, He sends vessels that have been broken and reshaped and restored and refilled. Before any of us can carry God's message to a rebellious world, and I'm telling you, if you've been saved by Jesus, if you've been redeemed by Jesus, you've been recruited by Jesus to go into a lost world. You have a message. You have a testimony. Every single person in this room. But before any of us can share and carry God's message, carry our testimony to a rebellious world, we must first let His word reshape our hearts, fortify our spirits, and break our pride. Ezekiel 3 is going to teach us the process of preparations, what it does. And it's just as the preparation is just as sacred as the message that we have to give. I'm going to ask if you would stand in the honor of reading God's word. We're going to begin Ezekiel chapter 3. We're going to go verse 1 through 15. And the scripture will also be on the screen, so you can follow along there. If you're visiting with us on live stream today, I encourage you to follow along and read as we read together. Before we do, we're going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us through the word today. Father, we do pray, God. We need You desperately. And Lord, Your presence is here. So Holy Spirit, would you speak powerfully to your people today? I die to myself. I need you. Give me clarity and do what I cannot do, what I don't want to do on my own. Go before us, teach us from your word, ring our bell, and we'll respond in obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The voice said to me, Son of man. Now, son of man, what did we say last week son of man means?
Human.
Human. Get up. He says, Son of man, eat what I'm giving you. Eat this scroll. Eat this word that I'm giving you. Then go and give its message to the people of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he fed me the scroll. Fill your stomach with this, he said. And when I ate it, it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. Then he said, Son of man, go to the people of Israel and give them my messages. I'm not sending you to a foreign people whose language you cannot understand. No, I'm not sending you to people with strange and difficult speech. If I did, they would listen to you. But the people of Israel, the people I'm sending you to, won't listen any more than they listen to me. For the whole lot of them are hard-hearted and stubborn. But look, I have made you as obstinate and hard-hearted as they are. I have made your forehead as hard as the hardest rock. I made you a hard head, boy. So don't be afraid of them or fear their angry looks. Don't fear afraid of their evil looks. Where am I at? Nine? Okay. Even though they are rebels. Verse 10. Then he added, Son of man, let all my words sink deep into your own heart first. That's important. I underline that. Listen to them carefully for yourself. Then go to your people in exile and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Do this whether they listen to you or not. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard a loud rumbling sound behind me. May the glory of the Lord be praised in this place. It was the sound of the wings of the living beings as they brushed against each other and the rumblings of their wheels beneath them. The Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went, look at this, I went in bitterness and turmoil. But the Lord's hold on me was strong. Now listen, he's saying something here. I didn't go skipping and jumping on this assignment. God gave me an assignment, and I didn't want to do it. I went with bitterness and turmoil in my heart because God has already said, I'm going to go and say this, and they're not going to listen. Then I came to the colony of the Judean exiles in Tel Aviv beside the Kibar River. I was overwhelmed and set among them for 7 days. God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. If you're taking notes today, here's, before you speak up, here's point number one that I pulled from this passage. God's word must go deeper than your notes. God's word must go deeper than your notes. God doesn't say to Ezekiel here early in this passage, he doesn't say, study this scroll. Look over it. What does he say to him? Eat it. He says, eat this word. In Hebrew, eat it, it means to devour, to consume fully. Let it get on you. It wasn't academic that he was talking about. It wasn't just a passing 15-minute devotion on Saturday morning or whatever. This was visceral. This was gut. He said, eat this, devour this, take this in. Ezekiel had to take in the scroll until it became part of him. And what was written on the scroll, if you remember from last week, it was lamentation, it was mourning, it was woe, it was funeral words. It wasn't the peppiest words. It wasn't exactly a pick-me-up. It wasn't an easy read for him. But Ezekiel said that the word tasted sweet. I want to tell you something about the word of God. This is kind of a paradox. Even the hardest parts are sweet. Because when they come from love and from the heart of God, that's why. Psalm 119:103 says, "How sweet your words taste to me, God. They are sweeter than honey." Have you ever been reading scripture and a verse hits so deep that it feels like your soul inhales it? And I tell you, along my journey, sometimes it's those things, it's those zingers about my own life. It's those things that I read and it's like, and I know that he's speaking to me with that word. And it has been piercing. But boy, I tell you, it's so sweet when you hear a word from the Lord through the word. You can't describe it. That's the kind of sweetness that he's talking about. Did you know that you can know a lot of verses? You can memorize a lot of verses and still be spiritually starving. There's a difference between quoting scripture and being consumed by scripture. Anybody can quote scripture. Believer, non-believer, doesn't matter. Anybody can quote something from a book. I once heard someone say, "You can teach what you know, but you reproduce what you are." You can teach what you know, but you reproduce what you are. Now, I get it. Sometimes we're just trying to help out sometimes. We see some folks off track, and we want to speak truth to them. Scripture says, speak the truth and finish that statement. Speak the truth in love. And I'm going to tell you this. If we haven't let the same truth marinate in us, it'll come off like noise instead of nourishment. The people around you don't need a Bible app. They don't need a seminary lecture. They don't need religious talk from us. What people need around us is someone who's been pierced by the Word of God and has devoured it. Truth without transformation is just information. And information without compassion is just noise. You ever been around somebody and they just spill out a bunch of, they won't even know, but they'll just spill out a bunch of scripture and thus saith the Lord, and you're sitting there and you just kind of roll your eyes. I'm like, that's really not needed right now, you know? And you think, well, scripture's always needed. Sometimes God just wants you to shut your mouth and be a presence there. Sometimes he just wants you to live out truth. There are times where he asks you to speak, and we ought to. That's what this is about. But there are times that he gives you an assignment to love and he shuts your mouth. Just be there. Ezekiel couldn't speak for God until a word had shaped him first. Neither can you or I. We won't be released by God to give a word to someone for God unless he has shaped us by that word first. Now here's the issue I see. See, we can get eager to speak for God and we speak a truth that into someone else's lives without realizing sometimes that it can be the hypocrisy that we're dealing with too. There's a reason why Jesus said, "Why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye?" How can you say, "Let me help you," when you can't see past the log in your own eye? And then he says, first get rid of the log and then you'll clearly see enough to help. I'm going to tell you, this word to Ezekiel and the word to us today is a call to humility and to wholeness. You want to speak up, he's going to first call you there. We don't speak from a place of moral superiority. We speak as someone who's been searched
and sanctified by the same word. Before we correct others, let the word correct us. Before we call someone out, let God call us in. You want to speak for God? You want to do ministry for God? You want to be sent by God? Start kneeling down before Him. That's where real authority comes from. Not your opinions, not your title, not your age, but it's your obedience to the Word of God. It's when you've let the Word marinate in you, you've let it break you, you've repented from your own sin, you've gone through that pain, you've let it shape you, and then you can go and help others as God leads you. Now, with each point today, here's what I want to do. I want to give you some practical things to take away that you can do today. So with this point right here, here's just some practical things. When you read your Bible this week, slow down. Slow down. Don't rush through the Word to get the volume. I want you to read the Word and look for the voice. Listen for the voice. You might get a few verses in and the Lord just interrupt that moment. And I want you to ask God this question. And write this down. God, what are you saying to me right now? God loves to hear that question. Lord, what are you saying to me right now? And then sit with that. Whatever the passage is that you do, slow down. Ask, Lord, what do you want to teach me? What do you want to say to me through this passage? And then listen. Maybe out of that, you might get one thing of obedience. And that might become your prayer for the day. Ask the Lord what He wants to say to you so that you can be on mission for Him. Here's number two. Here's the second. Is truth is sweet to receive, but heavy to carry. Truth is sweet to receive. But it's hairy, heavy. It could be hairy to carry too. It's heavy to carry. Glad y'all are paying attention. Now this is going to show on the screen. I'm not going to read all this passage, but I'm going to refer to it. Now, Ezekiel's full. He gets this. He gets the scroll. He gets the word. God says, eat it. And then God gives him this assignment to go. Go to my people. You'd think that after Ezekiel had devoured the scroll, had a supernatural encounter, and surrendered to the call, that God would reward him with fruitfulness. That revival would come, the clouds would part, everybody's ears would lean in when Ezekiel entered the room, and results would abound. You'd think. Have you ever said, Lord, I've been obedient to you. Where's the fruit? I did what you told me to do. I'm going to do the hard thing. Where's the fruit? Where are you at? Anybody ever thought that? Hello? But that's not what happens. Instead, God says, hey, by the way, they're not going to listen to you. And you're like, why are you sending me? That's hard. I don't care who you are. That's hard. Because we assume that if we're obedient, people will be receptive. God's just going to make a way for that. He's going to make them receptive. But sometimes obedience to the Lord isn't about the outcomes. It's about our faithfulness. What are you willing to do if God says go and He says it's not going to look like you want it to look? It's not going to be earthly victorious, but it's got something to do with my kingdom. What if God sits you on an assignment and He says you'll never see the fruit of that in your lifetime? Would you still say yes? Ezekiel 3, I'm going to paraphrase this, verse 4 and 9. He says, go speak to your people, but here's the deal, they're not going to listen, not because of you. God was gracious to say, this ain't going to be about you. This is not about you. My call on your life is not about you. It's not because of you that they won't listen to. It's not that you're not a great speaker. It's not that you're not gifted in that. It's not that I'm anointing you to do this. It's going to be because of me. They won't even listen to me. And God says, their heart is hardened because of their sin and their blindness. That's the result of sin. But then he says, good news for you, bro, because of what you've been through already, your forehead is as hard as theirs is. A hard rock. Some translation says, I've made your forehead like flint. Now, flint, we know, is hard. It's sharp stone used for tools and weapons. It's what it is. In other words, God's saying to Ezekiel, he's saying, they're stubborn, but I'm making you stronger. I'm fortifying you, and I'm sending you to a hard place, but I'm making you strong in my power. I've created something in your DNA to prepare you to what you need to stand in front of hard-hearted people. Sometimes we imagine boldness as this wildly aggressive personality, but Ezekiel was just faithful. Faithful and fortified. I mean, he was just strong. It's grit. Well, I call that spiritual grit. This wasn't about being loud. It wasn't about being durable. It was about being durable. Luke 9:51 says, Jesus set his face like flint toward Jerusalem. You remember that passage? Jesus was determined. God had anointed him to go in and do what he needed to do. He knew that he was going to the cross. This was the last journey there. Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem to a people he knew wouldn't get it. And just like Ezekiel, Jesus did not flinch in the face of rejection. I'm going to tell you something. If you do anything for the cause of Christ, you will experience rejection. But he was resolved, not reactionary. And that's what God calls us to. He calls us to steadfast courage because it takes courage to answer that call. I'm going to tell you, not everybody will answer that call. This is a hard thing. Your purpose will be a hard call. We're called to show steadfast courage, not showy aggression. I believe God is still looking for people with a forehead like flint. Not stubborn in personality, but stubborn in your faith. People who don't fold every time the culture shifts. People who won't back down when the pressure rises. People who won't tuck tail and run when the going gets tough. People who know that this message that we have, that God has given me, is too holy to be watered down. I tell you, it's been tough all over these years. Being a pastor, knowing that there have been people in the congregation at times that I know what I was saying was offensive. And I know what I was saying, what I felt was the truth of the Word of God, that they were in disagreement with. There have been times where I have had to repent for trying to make it palatable just so that everybody would be all right. I'm going to be honest about it. I suspect because I have such a heart for the Word of God and the truth. I suspect if I have dealt with that as pastor, you have dealt with that in your life and in your relationships too. You've come up with people that you really wanted them to get it, and so you'll ease up on some points that you don't need to. That's our proclivity. But our message, the gospel, is too holy to back off. And when God says, say it, say the truth in love. You know, you don't have to be loud to be unshakable. I don't know that Ezekiel was a loud guy. I don't know that he was. I don't know that he was just this bold, audacious guy. I think he was someone that God gave a burden for a people. Some of the strongest believers and saints and leaders I know that I've met barely raise their voice. But when they speak, heaven leans in. You ever known somebody like that? When someone walks in, they don't have to tell someone, tout their experience. They don't have to tout their title. They don't have to throw anything around. But they just walk with some authority that's given to them by God. And when they speak, the room just kind of leans in a little bit. You ever known those kinds of people? That's when you know that God has given authority to somebody. They don't have to say something to prove their... I read a story... This story, when I was preparing for this message, about a high school teacher. He had a student come in after class and share some heartbreaking things that were going on at home. Things that no child should ever have to carry. And the student pleaded with this teacher. He said, please don't tell anybody. I don't want anybody to know what's happening in my home. And the teacher was torn between compassion and conviction. But he knew that the truth couldn't stay hidden. And he had to do a hard thing, and he had to report what that child had said. When the child found out, there were some consequences. The student was angry, gave him the cold shoulder for weeks, hated the teacher, spread rumors about him. But one day, several months later, that student came back around to the teacher and he said, I hated you for what you did. I hated you. I asked you not to say anything. But I realized that you did it because you cared. And you told the truth when nobody else would. And you stood up for me when nobody else in my life did. That's what it means to speak truth in a culture that resists it. You may be misunderstood and rejected and even hated for a while. But truth spoken in love always leaves a mark. Today we live in a world where truth is often treated as betrayal, where protecting feelings is seen as more important than protecting people. But I'm here to tell you today, truth is not unkind. Even if it flies in the face of our culture, it's not unkind. It's love that refuses to look the other way. And you may not be celebrated, but you will be faithful. Now, here's the practical how-to. If you're going to speak the truth in hard places, ask the Spirit to make you strong, not sharp. Ask the Spirit to make you strong, not necessarily sharp. Speak from conviction, not out of reaction. See, a lot of times we're knee-jerk. Well, that's when we get religious. That's when we kind of can speak out of our flesh. Speak out of conviction, not reaction. Before you correct someone or speak into their life, pray for them. Pray first. Pray first. Ask. Ask the Lord, do I love this person enough to carry this burden? I'm going to tell you something I want you to always remember. Love always costs. There is a price to pay for love. There's a price to pay for love for the Lord, your love for the Lord, and there's a price to pay for love for others. Do I love enough this person enough to carry this burden? Here's number three. Before you minister, sit with the burden. Before you minister, sit with the burden. Now, I want you to look at verse 10 through 15. It says, then he added, son of man, I let the words sink deep into your own heart first. Listen to them carefully for yourself. Then go to your people in exile and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Do this whether they listen to you or not. Then the Spirit lifted me up. I like how he says that. He didn't get up on his own. He didn't pull himself up by his bootstraps to do this assignment. The Holy Spirit lifted him up and gave him the strength to do what God was calling him to do. So the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard a loud rumbling sound behind me. May the glory of the Lord be praised in this place. I think he was having a holy moment when he said that. He thought, oh, glory. I heard a sound. Glory. Praise God. I heard a sound. And then it was saying, it was the sound of the wings of the living beings as they brushed against each other and the rumblings of their wheels beneath them. Listen, I think heaven was being stirred in that moment. The Holy Spirit lifted me, praise God. Heaven started to stir around Ezekiel for this assignment. The Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and turmoil. Now, you wouldn't expect him to say that if all that's happening in heaven. I'm telling you, if you are obedient to God, heaven is stirring and ready to support you in what you're doing. God is going to send everything you need to get what he needs done through you to be done. You're not alone. You won't be doing your assignment alone. You won't always like the assignment. And you can know in your knower that God is with you, he's on your side, he's equipped you, he's anointed you, heaven's behind you, and you have the full weight of heaven going on. You can know that in your knower and still be facing it with bitterness and turmoil. That's just the truth. That's the flesh and the spirit. He says, but the Lord's hold was strong on me. I'm telling you, some of you need to remember, when the Lord gets a hold of you and gives you an assignment, he will not let you go. You can run and run and run, but you cannot hide. And he will chase you down. And he said, the Lord had a strong grip on me. I'm telling you, there have been times for Carolyn and I, if it were not for the strong grip of the Lord on our call. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, because that's the same thing with you. If the Lord had not held your feet in that hard place, you would have taken flight and you would have missed the glory and the blessings of God. And so he says, but the Lord's hold was strong on me. Then I came, I went into where God told me to, into the exile there. And then he says, I was overwhelmed and I sat among them for 7 days. And this part of the story stuns me every time I read it. Ezekiel eats the scroll, hears the call, gets the power. Here's heaven's behind him. He goes in, don't want to go, but he goes in, and what does he do? He says, I was overwhelmed by what I saw, and I just sat there overwhelmed for 7 days. A week, I didn't do anything. He didn't launch a campaign. He didn't go get t-shirts made. He didn't fire off a group page on Facebook. He didn't do any of that. Think about it. He just had a supernatural encounter, okay, where God showed up for him, said, boy, I've got something for you. He heard the voice of God. He's been filled with divine words. He's been told, oh, they're not going to listen. That'll mess with your head. And instead of rushing to speak, He's overwhelmed. He sits and he's stunned and he's wrecked. Huh? 7 days silent, overwhelmed. The word he had eaten, that assignment, was heavy on him. Now, that word overwhelmed, by the way, it means here in this passage to be appalled, stunned, and laid waste. He wasn't burnt out. He was burdened. Now, I've got to ask you this question. When was the last time that you let the Word of God wreck you? When was the last time that you let the assignment and the anointing that God has placed on your life, your purpose, how long has it been since you've just been overwhelmed and undone and you just were wrecked by it? I'm not talking about just being inspired by the Word and by inspired by Jesus. I'm not just convict you. Oh, yes, I need to be doing that. I sure need to. Yes, that's a good word, God. Thank you. But when was the last time you let it undo you? Because I'm going to tell you, some of the greatest ministry flows from a heart that's been humbled and undone in the presence of God. You want to know what gives your words power? You want to know what gives your ministry power? You want to know what gives your purpose power? It's when they come from a soul that has wept before they've spoken. Now, here's the practical. After reading your scripture this week, don't move too fast. I want you to ask the Lord if it applies. What about this is breaking your heart? What's breaking your heart? And I just want to encourage you just to sit in silence for 5 minutes. Now, I'm telling you, when you're alone, 5 minutes can seem like an eternity without noise or without thinking about something else. And that's going to be a challenge for you, I tell you. 5 minutes would be a challenge. Some of you know what it's like to have sat in silence. And you've wept over your children. Some of you have carried unanswered prayers. You have felt the heaviness of knowing truth, but not knowing how to say it. Haven't you? Ezekiel reminds us here that silence isn't weakness, it's weight. Don't rush it. Let God do the work He wants to do in your heart. Let Him swing through in you. Because I'm going to tell you this, God is forming you in the quiet. And can I also add this? The teacher is often silent when you're in the hardest test. Sometimes the greatest sermons, your greatest message, your greatest ministry to others will be born in silence. Sitting alone with the Lord, not strategy. Let me ask us a few questions that will lead us into the invitation today. Have you been trying to speak truth without first feasting on it? Have you let the Word go deep in you, or have you just stayed surface with the Word? And are you willing to sit with a burden before you carry the message? Can you come to the Lord today at the conclusion of this message, can you come to the Lord and say to Him, Lord, would you fill me with your word again? Let it undo me. Let it search around in those places that I don't want you to go, because it's going to require something of me. Would you ask the Lord, shape me before I speak? Before I go running to the line to help someone else, would you do that work in me? That's a hard thing to ask, isn't it? Would you ask the Lord to burn away anything that's false in you? And this last one, could you ask the Lord to make you a truth carrier, not just a talker? Sometimes we just like to talk to cover up our own pain. Did you know that? I'm not leading you to yell louder in our world. I'm leading you to kneel lower, because that's what's required. If you want to walk in your purpose with authority and meaning and kingdom impact, if you want to be a kingdom person, it don't take stepping up. It takes getting low. Do you get what the Lord is trying to say to us through this chapter in Ezekiel? What it means when we're to speak out? See, God is raising up a kingdom people. He's calling kingdom people. And I want cultivate, I want you to be kingdom-minded people. I don't want to waste my time building my own kingdom that'll be a house of cards. I don't want to waste my time or your time doing something that doesn't advance the kingdom of God. Let's not play games. I'm not going to lead you to do that. I want us to be people who feast on the Word. That's why I preach like I do. I want us to be people that will sit in His presence and soak it up and let it transform us. And I want us to be a people who will speak up not for attention and not to build our kingdom, but for the sake of obedience and for His glory. That's what I want for us.